Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hockey fights, lifestyle, and tales from a first-round draft bust? We have it all and more on the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for boutique hockey content and podcasts covering every team in the NHL.
This is the Grit and Barrett Podcast, a podcast devoted to the 11-time Calder Cup champion, the Hershey Bears. We talk Hershey Bears, the American Hockey League, and all the hockey news that matters to me. This is high energy, unfiltered, and at times unfocused hockey talk from a hack. And now, on with the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Game Over here on the Hockey Podcast Network, where we say goodbye to almost each and every NHL team, whether they want to or not. Today's guest should be no surprise that I have these two on. For those of you who listen to my podcast, the Grit and Barrett Podcast, for even 10 minutes, know that at my core, I am a dirty, filthy, rotten yinzer, so of course, I bring on one of the two Knicks from the Tip of the Iceberg podcast because they cover a team that was founded in 1967. They have, checks notes, five Stanley Cups to their name. I should know this. I will go to my room right now. Five Stanley Cups to their name. Their most recent visit was in 2016, and we are more than happy to tell you that. I am bringing on Nick Berlansky, one of the two Knicks of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, to talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins. Nick, buddy, always good to have you on the show. Welcome to Game Over.
Always good to be on with you, Richard. I wish we would still be talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins in the playoffs because covering the team is much more fun when the team has games to play. But we are in the offseason. It is game over. So I guess I wouldn't be able to come on this show without the Penguins losing in the playoffs. So I guess that means there is a little silver lining to the Penguins getting eliminated early on.
Yeah, I'm getting the Steel City's getting a little tired of doing – if I was doing game over a little bit longer – doing it always around the same time every year. Yeah. But let's get into that. I will ask you the golden first question, as I do with everybody on Game Over. What happened? I mean, it seemed like that maybe this Penguins team could have been a nobody believes in us team, up 3-1, and what happened?
I think the dam just broke with Louis Domingue in net. Obviously, injuries are going to face every team when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. You look at what Leon Draisaitl was able to do with a high ankle sprain. It was absolutely ridiculous. But for the Pittsburgh Penguins, you have Tristan Jarry out the first games of the series. You have Casey DeSmith, who tears his MCL in the second overtime of Game 1. And then you have this guy, Louis Domingue, that comes in Game 1, steals the hearts of everybody with broccoli and spicy pork, gets the Penguins up 3-1, and then all of a sudden turns right back into a pumpkin in game at the end of Game 5. Crosby going down doesn't help. Raquel going down in Game 1 doesn't help. Injuries didn't help, but at the end of the day, the Penguins have only themselves to blame because they had the Rangers on the ropes. They could have taken them out in Game 5. Even when Crosby went out, they had a 2-0 lead, but they self-destructed. They couldn't take advantage on the power play, and they also, which most teams haven't been able to, but they also couldn't stop the New York Rangers on the power play in that series at all.
when you're staring down Mika Zibanejad, Capo Caco, Chris Kreider, insert fourth liner guy here who somehow is able to score a goal, it's just, it's not something you want to face. And a bit of a Brucey bonus question to quote friends of the podcast, OS Dub. You guys talked about goaltenders after the Pens were eliminated. Is it fair to say that Louis never stole a game, and that if he would have stolen just one game, the Pens would have been moving on? Because it seems like all the games he was in, the Pens were, you know, always gave up three or four goals.
I don't think he really stole a game. If you want to make the argument, I could say game one when he came in, made 17 saves on 17 shots, coming in, you know,
in
second overtime and being able to shut the door. But at the same time, second overtime, the quality of shots, you heard it on the broadcast, what was that, 38 days ago when that happened, that the quality of shots once you get to that point are very low. So even though he came in, you know, cold, he came in after sitting on the bench for 4 hours, the quality of shots were not quite there. And then the rest of the series, he simply did just enough to get the Pittsburgh Penguins that 3-1 lead. And even in game five and in game six, he wasn't awful. It's just when he needed to make a save, he couldn't get a save. You see the game-winning goal in game six. You see a couple of the goals in game five. It was just a matter of the fact that he was giving up the easy goal. So I would say he didn't really steal a game, and if anything, maybe that game won. But if you look at the way that the Penguins played defensively, they also insulated him really well.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, as you said, he came in relief. In baseball terms, it's like, oh, a guy had four good innings. Let's throw him out as a starting pitcher in game five, and then be surprised when he's serving up meatballs by the third inning. And one other thing you guys did brought up, his composure was all over the place. He looked like an American Hockey League goaltender. And as a consumer of the American Hockey League product that I am, that was very much true. He just never looked comfortable.
And the biggest thing that I noticed, and so did my co-host Horwat, is anytime the puck would come from the shoulder of his glove hand the entire way over to his blocker side, he kept trying to catch it with two hands. You know, it's like how you teach a little kid, hey, two hands on the ball, two hands on the ball. That's football. In hockey, if it's coming to your chest, let it hit your chest. Smother it, cover it, and that's it. And we saw at the end of game six, you know, the negative connotations of that, because he tried to catch it, he clapped it, went straight up, and it just landed right behind him. He had no idea where it was. But yeah, in the second half of that series, he did kind of come back down into reality. And I don't blame him, honestly, because he was playing above his head a little bit in the first half of the series. And he is what he is. We can't expect him to go out there and win the series all alone. But he did go out there and lose them the series to a certain extent, which is what you tried to avoid but couldn't.
And on that note, let's take a look into the offseason. As in probably a few weeks, we will head into the free agency and prospect season of July. The Penguins actually have a decent amount of draft picks this year compared to previous years. You actually have a first rounder this year. Your second and your third, I think, was traded away to Anaheim as part of the Raquel trade. You've got some expirings coming off the books. Again, speaking as someone who's seen the farm club, do you think that what are the Penguins going to do shopping wise this off season? I've heard you talk about a veteran goaltender. Does Alex Nylander come up at all? You know, what does the off season hold for the black and gold?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Alex Nylander, because that's somebody that we haven't mentioned on our show, but I feel like we probably should, because why else would they have brought the guy over? I mean, Sam Lafferty, who they sent back in exchange, is not a world burner. He's not going to be great. He's a fringe NHLer. And Alex Nylander used to have a much higher, you know, potential than he does right now. So I don't think there would be any reason that they would have brought him over if they weren't going to implement him at some point. So next season might be a year for him. But if you look at the offseason as a whole, of course, the Pittsburgh Penguins, two big names there, Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang. That is the massive question for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Will Hextall get a deal done? What will those deals look like? Because as of right now, the Penguins have the most cap space they have had in the Sidney Crosby era, with about $24 million. But you have to imagine, if they bring both of those guys back, the majority of that cap room is going to be washed away. But if they don't, that's what gets interesting. I've seen Horwat, my co-host, as well as Haley Salvian, who covers the Flames for The Athletic, mentioned the Penguins as being a potential team for Johnny Gaudreau, who is the superstar of the entire offseason. If they have that cap space and can't sign a Malkin, can't sign a Letang, I don't see why they wouldn't at least kick the tires on that. But, I mean, for him, coming to Pittsburgh instead of Philly might be a little bit out of the ordinary for him. But when you look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I've said it and I've started to coin the term prospect puddle instead of prospect pool, because that's what it is. It's four or five guys that can make a difference in the next 2 or 3 years. And even then, it's a question mark. Can Poulin do anything? We don't know. He had a great second half of the season in Wilkes-Barre, but his first half was so, so horrid. It got him a healthy scratch halfway through. Pustinen is a guy that I have my eye on. Jesse Marshall of The Athletic has been talking my ear off about him for the past two seasons. Seventh round pick of the Penguins a couple of years ago. That's a guy that could make a difference next year. And POJ, and you know, it's crap or get off the pot time with Pierre-Olivier Joseph. Now, the only problem is he's a left shot defenseman, and the Penguins currently have three on their roster making more than $4 million, so they would have to realistically make room for him. But there's a lot of question marks for the Penguins this offseason.
As someone who's seen those players that you've talked about, Nylander is the one who bounced the Bears in the deciding game three in overtime.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing up that pleasant memory.
Oh, yes.
Pustinen has burned the Bears many times, so yes, he's getting there. And it seemed like Pierre-Olivier Joseph was sort of sulking in the American Hockey League a bit because he's like, I want to go back to Pittsburgh. Wait, stupid Wilkes-Barre, why am I down here? And it seemed like in the second half of the season, he got his proverbial stuff together and realizing, I got to put the time in down here if Pittsburgh's going to call me back up. So all the players that you've mentioned are all definite players, and I think Nylander should go up and definitely at least get a good, hard, extended look at training camp whenever that rolls around. But veteran goaltending, we do this every year in Pittsburgh. What do you want for Fleury?
To me, honestly, if Fleury comes back on a team-friendly deal, one-year deal to help be a platoon with Jari, I think it would be perfect for the Penguins. But I'm not overpaying for a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury. I'm not overpaying for a 1B or a backup goaltender because Tristan Jarry showed easily this season that he is a number one starting goaltender in this league. Now, whether or not he can do it in the playoffs remains to be seen. I don't really hold Game 7 anything against him because he did play pretty well, but you could tell he still was suffering from a broken foot. So I'm not taking anything away from Tristan Jarry at all. If the Penguins can get Fleury back, I'd love to see it. I'm definitely a Fleury apologist when it comes to the city of Pittsburgh, but I'm not bringing him back for a massive deal. I'm not bringing him back to be the starter. I'm bringing him back to play 30 to 35 games this season to be a backup, or maybe even let him get to 40 games and be the 1B. But that's only if your schedule calls for it. Because if the Penguins fans want to clamor for Fleury, which they will, don't get me wrong, they will. I might as well. But he should not be the starter because guess what? He is 1 foot out the door of the NHL. He has been talking about retirement, maybe not outwardly as much, but he's been saying, hey, I'm mulling it over. But he's also never really been a free agent. So this is a new experience for him. I'm sure he will look it around, and I'm sure the one thing he wants the most is to win another Stanley Cup. Now, would he like to end his career in Pittsburgh? Yes, that's why he declined multiple trades to the Washington Capitals. But does he want to win a Stanley Cup? And which comes more important to him? And does it come in favor of money as well? There's so many questions to that, and we'll have to see over the summer. I mean, what is it? July 13th is the start of free agency. So we have a little over a month yet till we get some of these answers.
Great stuff out of you, Nick. Great stuff. We're going to take a short break, a bit of an ad break here. We'll be right back.
But before we continue with Game Over or the Grit and Barrett podcast, hockey fans, the pursuit of the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for you for the most exciting playoffs in all of sports. New customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the playoffs with DraftKings same-game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlays by combining multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and much more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is secure, safe, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility requirements apply. See show notes for details down in the description. And now on with the show.
And we're back here on Game Over, talking Pittsburgh Penguins with Nick Berlansky, one of the two Nicks on the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. All right, it's time for the sneaky question here on the Game Over, which is all spontaneous, unrehearsed. A sneaky question I'm going to ask this team. He has no idea what's coming. I have no idea what's coming. Let's get right into this. So the question is, if you are able to resign both Letang and Gino and Malkin for everyone else in the league, you're going to have to let one other player go out the door to make the room for it. Who is the proverbial shoe to drop to make room for those two to come back?
Rickard Rakell.
Easy. Wow.
He is also a player that is a free agent this season. But the thing with Rickard Rakell is he made what? I believe his total cap hit was 3.87 or something like that last year. The only way he fit under the salary cap was Anaheim had to retain a good portion of that. I think the full 50% that they're allowed to. But
half Eddie. Sorry, had to do that. Sorry.
You're good. Let's
continue.
But even though he was great with the Penguins, he was phenomenal on the Crosby line. There's no way the Penguins are going to be able to re-sign him because you look at what they got for Brian Rust. It was a steal. You'd probably have to pay Rakell just as much, if not more, to come back unless he's willing to take a pay cut. He said that he would like to come back to Pittsburgh in his end of the season press conference, but everybody's going to say that. He's not going to come out and say, you know what, it's been fun, but I'm peacing. I'm out skis. So, yes, he said he wants to come back. Yes, if you're going to come back to the Penguins this year, you're probably going to have to take a pay cut. We saw Rust, who got a raise, but still a cut from what he should have been paid. It's probably going to be a pay cut for Malkin. It's probably going to be a pay cut for Letang if they get the deals done. But Rakell, there's not going to be enough space. And realistically, you're probably giving up on one of three other guys, too, because you still have to deal with Kapanen, Rodriguez, and Heinen. You're probably not going to be able to bring back maybe one, maybe two of those, but you're going to have to give one of them up as well as Rickard Rakell. So if you bring those guys back, it is basically stating that you're going to start filling holes with some youth, and we talked about them earlier in the show, Nylander, Pustinen, Poulin, Joseph. That's what's going to have to help the Pittsburgh Penguins next year if they're able to bring back their two-star players that are currently off of contract.
Another bonus question. Does Zucker stick around after I know he's an expiring next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has 1 year left at 5.5. There's a lot of people clamoring to get him on the trade block. I actually wrote a story about this for InsideThePenguins.com yesterday.
Dang.
About the fact that he's running out of chances. He really is. It's his last year on contract. He had probably his worst season ever last year, even though he only played in 50% of the games, 41 out of the 82 last year. He dealt with injuries. He was a freaking warrior in the playoffs, having to sit on a stool down the bench. Couldn't even sit on the player's bench because of the injury he was suffering. He was dealing with it all year. He came back at one point, played one game, scored two goals against Vegas. Then he was out for another 3 weeks. He's somebody that if he got healthy and if he can put it together, he's a 20-goal guy. He's done it five times in his career. I love the way he plays. I love his forechecking ability. I love his tenacity. I think he's great for the Pittsburgh Penguins. The only problem is he hasn't put it together since coming over in 2020. He had that 15-game stretch as soon as he got here. COVID hit, and he hasn't been the same since. He's running out of chances. I think they're probably going to ask around on Jason Zucker, but I would like to see him back. I think they do end up bringing him back next season.
Yeah, watch. It's a contract year, and he'll do something ridiculous. He'll be fully healthy, and he'll go 25-25 for a 50-point season. And then it'll be, let's keep him, let's keep him. And then, but you'll see Hextall with, like, the Monopoly Man with his pockets out, like, but I don't have anything. I don't have anything for him. I could ask you about Hextall, but we don't have a lot of time here left, and I'm sure you guys will be talking about him and the ownership all summer long. They're on the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. They're over on SI.com, am I correct?
InsideThePenguins.com.
InsideThePenguins.
It's an affiliate of Sports Illustrated, yeah.
Yep, and we'll get to that a little bit later. So, Couple more questions before we get you out of here. Why should Penguins fans be optimistic heading into October?
Because they still have Sidney Crosby. I mean, that's a pretty obvious answer there. I mean, Sid has shown no signs of slowing down. He's going to be 35 years old when the next season starts. He was over a point a game again this season, and he's still just an absolute force of nature. Pair that with the fact that Tristan Jarry had a phenomenal season, and there's no questions really about that, and the fact that Jake Guentzel and Brian Rust are now under contract for the duration of Sidney Crosby's career. You know you're going to have your first line back. There's some young guys to get excited about. We already talked about them. We don't need to get back into them. And I imagine where it's at right now, and this might get old takes exposed, but where the conversations are at right now, where the reports are at right now, you're going to get to see Malkin and Letang again. I really think that they probably get that done. Letang, I have more questions of, but I think you're going to get to see Evgeny Malkin. And realistically, if you're a Penguins fan and you're not excited to watch Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby, come back to me in 5 years and tell me how you should have been. Because that is a blessing that we've had for the last 17 seasons, 16 of them the Penguins have made in the playoffs. I think that streak extends. I think they're going to have a great season. And I think that any year that I get to watch Sidney Crosby play hockey is a good year. Certainly, especially if he's playing for the Pittsburgh Penguins and I get to cover it.
Well, lest we not forget the dark ages of the early and mid-2000s. I'm sure any, you know, the dark days of the old igloo that nobody likes to really talk of. Remember, those days could come back. I mean, not like ownership issues, but the times when all you could hang your hat on was basically Lemieux's legacy, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it was just him and everybody else.
Don't discount Johan Hedberg.
Hedberg, yes. Hedberg.
That was
yes.
A great story, but other than that, there was not too much. You're right.
No. And you can kind of feel like I've always dubbed Crosby, Ovechkin, Taze, and Kane as the NBC era of the NHL. That's around the time they came in. And you can really feel that era coming to a close. You know, obviously all Capitals fans are going to be like, Ovechkin's forever. He'll just fade into the ether whenever he's done. But you kind of feel like that era with these players are slowly coming to an end. And that, especially in these playoffs, that a new guard is really starting to come forward. What the teams were watching at the time of this recording, the teams that are in the conference finals right now, even though Edmonton got bounced, Connor McDavid's a superstar. Nobody can deny that. Well, what we're seeing in New York, Tampa is freaking blue zombies. So, you know, just enjoy, you know, enjoy it while it's here, because you're going to miss it when it's gone, which I'm sure any Pittsburgh, any Yins or Steelers fans can tell you. You know, it's always sad to see an era come to an end. But speaking of being depressed, why should Penguins fans be depressed heading into December? I mean, October. Jeez,
where's my head? I don't know if there's any really reason to be depressed other than the fact that it's going to be tough sledding in that Metropolitan Division. I think it's weaker than I had initially thought at the beginning of this season, because the Flyers are done. I mean, the Flyers need the rebuild. They need to completely break it down and start over, and I don't know if Chuck Fletcher's willing to do that. The Devils, I expect them to be better this season, because I expect them to be better last season. I mean, at some point, Jack Hughes will get those guys going, and they have a really good core there. But if you look at the rest of the division, you're not going to be able to take one or two. It's going to be hard to take it from Carolina. It's going to be hard to take it from the New York Rangers, because those teams are only going to get better. They're on their way up. I know there's questions about Carolina in the postseason, but no question about them in the regular season. So you're going to be fighting for that third or fourth spot in the Metropolitan Division, that top wild card spot, which is going to put up another difficult matchup in the playoffs. So it's going to be an uphill battle. It's going to be another year of, hey, does Letang fall off now? Does Malkin fall off now? Because we're so excited. We loved what we saw. Letang just had a career year at the age of, what, 35? Mm-hmm. So we're excited about what we're seeing, but the knowledge that it could be soon over is always in the back of the mind, and that always makes you a little upset. But at the same time, like I said earlier, enjoy watching it while you can, because at some point it's going to come to an end. I don't think it's going to be as drastic or as kind of, I don't want to say pathetic, but I'm going to say pathetic, as Big Ben's last two seasons. But it'll still probably have a little bit of a decline, probably not with Crosby, but maybe with Malkin, who is still over a point a game this year, and maybe with Letang, who, again, seems to keep getting better with age. But there's still a little bit in the back of my mind that's like, I don't know if it's quite going to work out, but I trust them, and they've earned that trust.
Well, trust is given. Well, trust is earned, never given. But for the Pittsburgh Penguins, unfortunately, it happens to everyone. As we say, game over to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Nick, thank you very much for joining me here on this edition of Game Over. Before we get you out of here, go ahead. We're going to give you a minute or two to promote, you know, whatever you're working on. Give us your podcast, your socials, and all that. So, my friend, the board is thine.
Well, Richard, you know, it's always great coming on and talking to you, and I wish it was better circumstances. I love covering the team when they're actually playing, like I said at the outset here, but it is the off season. I'm swinging the golf clubs. I'm heading down to Florida in a week, so I'm going to get to relax a little bit, take my off season vacation. And as far as content is concerned, obviously just started over with Sports Illustrated Fan Nation at InsideThePenguins.com. So all my writing, my co-host Nick Forwatt's writing, we have a couple other guys on staff, Jacob and Noah. They're also really great writers. So if you want to check out our writing, check it out at InsideThePenguins.com. We're on Twitter and on Facebook at Inside the Penguins, at Inside Penguins on Twitter. And then, of course, the podcast. You know, we've been doing it since 2019. We're going to continue to do it until somebody tells us we're not allowed to. Tip of the Iceberg podcast out every Monday and Thursday with new episodes, even in the off season. And you can find us at Iceberg Podcast on Twitter or at Tip of the Iceberg Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And then if you like my opinions, which means that there's probably a screw loose in your head because I got some crazy opinions. But if you like my opinions, you know, like all of what I've been saying, you can follow me at Nick_Berlansky on Twitter.
Yep, all good stuff out of these guys. If you are a Pens fan listening to this, like I said, every Monday morning, you need a podcast to listen to. You know, there's good guys to go to. I enjoy listening to them, and they also do in-game updates during the season. Great stuff out of you guys as well. And, you know, I could go on and on here, but this is just a little supplementary podcast, everyone. We're not going to go too deep into detail of all the problems that the Penguins had this offseason. If so, and I say that for everyone, if you want to hear more about what the Pens are going to do this offseason, please tune in or subscribe to this fine podcast that Nick is on. Nick, thank you very much, man. And to all of you listening out there in the Hockeyverse, thank you very, very much for this edition of Game. And that will do it for the Grit and Barrett podcast this week. Like, thank you, everyone, for listening. And consider this a little Brucey bonus content for everyone that's out there. I teased a big announcement at the end of this podcast, and that's exactly what is going to happen, because this is not only a game over for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but this is going to be game over for my time at the Hockey Podcast Network as well. Because, folks, not only have I moved out of my living situation with my roommates and got married, I am also moving on to another podcast network as well. The place we are going to, everyone, well, we are moving into the Belly Up Podcast Network, affiliated with Belly Up Sports. This is a sports network that's been growing over the years, and it's been going rather well with them, as they have their own radio network and other projects as well. So first off, this is, you know, a goodbye to the Hockey Podcast Network, who, you know, grew themselves amidst of a pandemic, a lot like a lot of other podcasts out there, and who really hasn't discovered a lot of new things when the pandemic and everything happened. But they took a chance on me of a ADHD, anxiety written podcast host who just had a simple idea of a podcast about an American Hockey League team from a fan's perspective. Because like I tell everyone, I'm not an analyst. I don't have analytical abilities. You know, I can't even really spell analytics without spell check. No, I'm just a fan. Recently married, but just a fan. And that's
what I'm bringing to Belly Up. But thank you to Isha and Dylan on the Hockey Podcast Network for bringing me in and giving me a chance to work with, you know, my first ever sponsorship read with DraftKings as well. So I also am very thankful to a few other podcasters out there as well on the network. The two Knicks, Horwat and Berlansky, host the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, as they've moved on as well. Please check them out at Inside the Penguins over there at SI.com. The Caps Chirps podcast, you know, our affiliates, you know, they cover our affiliates, the lovely banter between them, Polly and the Hockey Troll. I may have muted Hockey's troll account, but that's because I didn't want to get riled up during the playoffs. Troll, still love you. Mean it. And a few others on the Hockey Podcast Network as well. More specifically, Neil Valentino, host of the Devil's State of Mind podcast, as I call my hockey brother from a different mother. I say that, I do not say that as a clever marketing thing. I say that as being legitimate, because the passion for that he has for the Devils matches my own that I have for the Hershey Bears. And it's been really glad to see him grow as well. Also, the national quarterfinalists of the New Jersey Devils PA announcer to so many people who have helped me grow over these last 18 months. But, you know, it's time to move on. It's time to grow and move on to close the chapter here at the Hockey Podcast Network. And that's the nature of stories, ladies and gentlemen. To close one chapter and start another. It can't stay the same forever, unfortunately. So to all you Bears fans, we'll be back. We'll definitely be back within a week or two up on the Belly Up Podcast Network. And for all of you at the Hockey Podcast Network, thank you, everyone. So to everyone, thank you. Thank you, Hockey Podcast Network, Dylan, Isha, and much more. And to everyone else, to quote Red Green, keep your stick on the ice. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for downloading this episode of the Grit and Barrett Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are currently listening to. If you are listening on Apple or Google, please leave us a 5-star review, as it appeases our algorithm overlords. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out the Hockey Podcast Network, where there is a podcast for each and every NHL team. We also cover the American Hockey League. They have a podcast about college hockey and all the ins and outs of the hockey world. If you wish to know more about our parent club, please check out the official Caps Chirps podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network, as they cover all things Washington Capitals. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. That's at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. This podcast is dedicated to the memory of Patricia Blosser, who passed away on December 5th, 2020, to dementia and COVID. The show is also dedicated to all of the Hershey Bears friends, fans, and family who lost their lives to cancer. Cancer sucks. Thank you once again for listening to the Grit and Barrett Podcast, and go Bears.